Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord and worshiping the Lord. We have hot weather, don't we? 121 degrees. That's nothing funny about it. The other night we had a terrific wind here. I think I have never seen wind so strong, and I don't know where it came from. Within about 20 minutes, everything was blowing. I thought all the trees are going to be gone and everything. Cutting branches and so on. And I look, and by Pinnacle Peak Road, I saw a big fire coming up, and the wind was blowing this way, and nobody can stop the fire. They had probably about 10 police cars and about 8 or 10 fire trucks there trying to stop the fire because it was at the houses. And then I got in the house, and the neighbors came over. They says, we've got to evacuate because fire is coming this way. They can't stop it at all. You have to get out of here. So it was after midnight. But, you know, the Lord was good. You know, the neighbors said, and I really appreciate them. They said, we kneel down and we pray. And he says, the Lord stopped the wind. Don't you believe that? They asked me. I said, I believe that. And the wind stopped. Just calm as it can be. I would say it was over 60-mile-an-hour wind here. You know, it was nothing. I mean, it took a table that I had in the back and lifted up and threw it against the wall on the other side with no problem at all. It was terrible. But the neighbors, people were screaming down there. I tried to get their kids out, and I said, Lord, it's good. There was not even one house. It was a brush fire, burned the power poles and this kind of things on Pinnacle Peak Road. It was in the north side, and the good thing, no homes were burned. The fire department tried to water down all the houses, you know, tried to control it, because it wasn't only the fire, the wind was the worst problem. But the Lord kept us, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for that, okay? Don't forget, this Wednesday we have prayer and fasting for the needs of the people. Their decisions have to be made by our people. Their things that they need, personal things, decisions that might be personal, spiritual, fiscal, whatever they are, we're going to bring them before the Lord, right? That's why we know what to do by the Word of God. When you start studying the Scripture, sometimes you avoid to cover certain areas. There are some very strong Scriptures. Some things that you cannot understand them. Some things that they are very difficult. Can you hear me pretty good, Brother David, down there? It's okay. Some things that are very difficult to understand. And when you study, you say, I better stay out of it. It might be way too far off. But sometimes you have to touch in some things. And might be controversial. But we need everything, right? The fullness of the Word of God. Now, God has attributes. Remember the first service on the Christ, the mystery of God being revealed. We start talking about what's a mystery. And we have seen that a mystery, something comes from the word mysterion, who means something that you can't figure it out. You try, you puzzle yourself. You don't know what it is. And in order for a mystery to know what it is, God has to reveal it. God has to remove the veil so you can see it. Humanly, it's impossible. And the second service you had about the creation, that God made you and me for a reason. Because there were certain attributes of God in Him before there was no world, no nothing. In these attributes that you see, they had to be manifested. You see, you can't say that I'm going to die for the sinner if there's no sinners. So the attribute is not manifested. You cannot say, I died for healing, Christ said. You can say now, I don't have anybody to be healed, because the attribute is not manifested. And that's why when we pray for divine healing, remember, God wants to give us more the divine healing that we ask. But we have to move the obstacles out of the way that hinders it and see the plan of God and the mystery of God. And then God will heal, because that's His attribute. All these attributes have to be manifested. You cannot have an attribute. Let's say we have a little rocky island. It's probably might be about an acre or something. And the waters are heating around it. Somebody said, we need cars in Zion. You can't do anything with the cars there. The cars need roads, right? The cars need, there's a purpose for the car, transportation. Move here, move there, no roads, no nothing. Bring a car, put it right on the top of a rocky island. What are you going to do with it? But God's added attributes are working in us, and He, no matter whatever happens, God has certain people that He knew. We studied last week in Ephesians, the first chapter, and the second, third, and fourth verse, that who He foreknew, He predestinate. God's foreknowledge. Remember, God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He can be at the same time at any place. He can have a sense of what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows how many times you go to open and close your eyes. You can hide nothing from God. God knows everything. We think because you forgot it, everything's okay. No. And never let time heal sin, because He doesn't. He takes the blood of Christ to do it. Because sometimes we think that, oh, He says time heals everything. Time doesn't heal nothing. Let me tell you, time brings you closer and closer to the day of judgment. That's what it brings you to. So when we see the magnitude of God, what God permits, and we know that God is love, and you say, is He love? You know what? You cannot understand the love of God because it's so big, so great. It's like an ocean was described in one of the tapes by Brother Barron. You try to take a little teaspoon and you go down to the ocean. She says, I better drink some water, make sure that we don't run out of water when you see the whole ocean. You see, you cannot understand the love of God. God's love is an attribute that has to be manifested. When God called you and me, there was a reason. It's not by accident. People think, well, I didn't have anything to do, and I went there. God knew you before the foundation of the world that you would be in that state. He prepared that meeting, and when you were there, God knew it all the way and prepared it. I believe that. It's nothing by accident with God. God controls everything. And if God, some people say, well, God can control this and that, everything. God numbers the seconds that you're going to be alive. He knows them. And we can sustain people mechanically, try to do that, pump their heart and so on. But as far as God is concerned, that's the time to go. That's it. That's finished. So now God, when He starts dealing with us, there are so many serious and severe things that God permitted to happen. Now, Israel, God dealt with them as a nation. And you go back and you look at Israel and you say, God, all these Israelites, what they have done, they did this, they did that, go through the whole Old Testament. God gave them to eat manna from heaven. He gave them everything. You know what happened? They still murmur, because that's human nature. And you know, sometimes you have everything and we still fuss about things. We got a place to worship. We are not persecuted. You study stories in China and these places, and you find out how easy do you have it. You find out people that are hungry, and you see they have nothing to eat, and probably all of us can eat as much as you want. You're going to go to any place probably today and have the best dinner, and that's what you're going to do. Because we are so wrapped up with our own selfish ways, we don't even know what God is doing. It's like a mother and a daddy. Try to take care of their child, try to buy them a present. The kid looks at it, throws it away. What's next, they say. They look at you. They have no value anymore at all. If it shines, if it's red and attracts, fine. But now God sometimes permits, like in Israel. You say, why all these Israelites fuss and did all these things? Do you know God knew that before the foundation of the world? God knew that. And in the last days, God is preparing a bride. When I say a bride, some people that belong to Christ and Christ alone. Their name doesn't have to be in a system, in a denomination, nowhere, no church. You see, you don't join the church of God. You are born to it. You know? You try to join something, you get satisfaction. Some people say, I was baptized If you were not saved, that means nothing. You just took a bath. That's it. It has to be an experience between you and God. And now when we start seeing that God speaks in Corinthians and he looks what happened to Israel. Everything. In the wilderness, persecution in Egypt. Look what happened to them in Egypt. They cried day and night. They were slaves. They get up in the morning. Their babies are sick. Nobody cares. The Egyptians get up and whip them, you know, to work. Nobody cares about you. And God knew that, and God permitted. Because God is a deliverer, and he had to deliver these people out of Egypt. He had to do it. So to prove his attribute, to be a deliverer, and to be a savior for you and I. And when God saves you, people think, I got saved, probably I'll be lost. Don't think about it like that. Because God, when he saves you, I believe in predestination, but I believe in the security of the saints also. If you are truly saved and got the Holy Ghost, no matter what happens, God will not let you fall on the side. He will keep you all the time, and you keep on going. And if you try to slide on the side, God will bring you up again. He says, stop it. That's it. You go so far and no more. You know that? So far and no more. Now, when you see the condition of Israel, and you read about me and you as Gentiles, and Paul speaks in Romans, he says about the Gentiles, he says, take heed so these things will not happen unto you. What? What happened to Israel? That word take heed, it's not there in the Greek Bible. It's not take heed. He says, it will happen for you and me if we just don't take them as an example. And God speaks in Corinthians, he says this. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples. All these things, what things to Israel? You know, they fuss, they argue, they murmur. Do I murmur? Do you murmur? We do that, you know that? That is sin. Instead of thinking what God pull you out. God brings you to himself, and when you think about it, what God is doing, you see, don't look the numbers, don't look the denominational people. You see, these people sometimes, you can't even teach them the Word of God. The only thing they want, the entertainment. You know, bring the choir, bring the orchestra, everybody smiles, a few jokes, but we don't face judgment with jokes. We have to face it with the Word of God. And without it, we go nowhere. He says, all these things happen unto them as examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. With other words, God said, what happened to Israel is for you to learn a lesson. Don't do what they did. Because you're going to pay the price. Where is Israel? God cast them out, went to the Gentiles. You say, Brother David, did God knew that before the Jews were selected? Absolutely. When God, you take a Jew and you speak about Abraham, he stands still. The two names, Abraham and Elijah, they stand still, they tremble. But you know, if you go to the promise of Abraham, God said to Abraham, in that seed, singular tense, and Paul speaks about it in Galatians, that's Christ, all nations shall be blessed. Not Israel only, but it will be the Jews, will be also the Italians, there will be the Africans, will be all the Europeans, should I say, or the Asians. All nations, A-L-L, shall be blessed, right there. Now, God, when he started working in his word, he says some severe things here. There are some things that I ask a brother, a minister, he called me, or I talked to him, should I say, for something else. And I mentioned that to him. And I said, look, what do you think about that verse? He says, I cannot handle this thing. And I named him something else. I cannot handle. But I like just a little thing this morning. As long as in the Word of God, let's look at it, correct? Because God put it for a reason there. Now, all our ways sometimes are ways that we say, why this happened to me? Here I'm suffering. Here I'm heartbroken. Here I'm lonely. God, this world is Sodom. What do I live here for? I want to die. But you know, you see, God said you don't have any rights to claim your life. That's, he counts the days, he counts the minutes, and he says, now, he said, I pray for you to be in the world, and I'm going to keep you. Why? Because God's attribute is to have a witness that's the saints that will judge the world. Do you know that someday you're going to stand and judge the world? And you, as a witness, is Sodom. And that's what Phoenix is, a Sodom. The young people don't know what to do. They have panicked completely. Their mind cannot function even for the schoolwork. The people say the teachers don't have it. I know the teachers are in a mess. You don't tell me anything. I know that from the university. But you see, the mind of the kids cannot function anymore to learn what they're supposed to. And they say, well, our kids don't even perform. They can't learn. They do this, they do that, because the kid's mind is polluted in this world. You know? Everything attracts them except something that they're supposed to know. So God, now as God speaks, and in Proverbs 21:1, God said this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Remember this. His heart is in the hands of the Lord. God controls the king. Period. Oh, you said the king said so. God controls it. Now listen to what he said here. As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whatsoever he will. With other words, the king makes a decision. God permit him to do it. And God's power is right there, and nothing can stop it. God has control over the king. You see, but I know many kings did lots of corrupted things, and lots of things that they were wrong. They killed people, and they did this, they did that. But just remember, God permits all these things for his attributes to be manifested. And when we get to the revelation of Jesus Christ, Christ coming down was the attributes of God. Remember that. God speaks a body. He says, there are going to be a body that I'm going to dwell in him in the fullness of the divine nature. You say, what is that? Colossians 2. He says, in him dwell the fullness of the divine nature bodily. Now, God said he controls the kings. You say, Hitler was a murderer. God foreknew that. Do you know that every Jew that was ever killed, every Jew that was ever persecuted, every Jew that was ever scattered in this world, every Jew that they killed at the temple, 1.2 million people killed at the time of, you know, before Babylon and so on took over down there. And what it is, you see, all these people that they were killed, God permitted. You know why? You see, God loves them. You see, they turned their back to Christ. They turned their blood, back to the blood. And the blood says, those, he says, that they kill in innocent blood shall die, so the land must be cleansed. That's what the Word of God says in Numbers 35. These people say, let the blood of this man rest upon us and our children. And it did. It rests upon them and their children. Like I said before, they did this, they crucified the Lord. Next day, they went to the synagogue, they went ahead, all the songs were sung there, they read the scrolls, 40 years, but God never forgets it. After 40 years, Israel started being persecuted, killed. They took, I think, 400,000, history shows, they took them down to Egypt and throw them in the alligators to worship the sun god and so on. They were laughing, the Egyptians, with the Jews. They took them slaves down there. Why? They were the chosen people of God. God knew that from the beginning. But why did he permit his attributes to be manifest? And God calls you and me by his love. You know why? And save us to understand the love of God. Do you understand the love of God? Do you know where God got you from? But that's still limited. You and I were so humanly controlled that we have no way to know. You say, I'm sitting here, hearing the Word of God, but you know, there's no way for you to know how to thank God. Because it's not only what God has done to get you out from, You don't know where God kept you from being into. How would you know if you were not where you are, where you would have been? Probably out in the streets, a bum, drug addict, and everything else. But God kept you. Why? It's the love of God. Now, God speaks some things that are very severe, and let's look a couple three here. Let's go first to Isaiah, the 19th chapter, Isaiah 19, and the 14th verse. Do you want to mark them down? Mark them down and study them when you go home. The scripture of the 14th verse is, the Lord have mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have cursed, and they have caused Egypt, I'm sorry, it's a little dark in my eyes, to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Listen, who caused Egyptians to be in the state that they are to persecute the Jews? Tell me. Who did it? The scripture says, and the Lord, he says, what did he say? Had mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. God has permitted that. You say God permitted that? Yes. To his own people? Yes. Why? Because he wants to be a witness in these people that he's God and he's going to deliver them out of Egypt. You say, Brother David, that's severe. Listen to something else. God tells Moses, go and see Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And God says, and he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. With other words, poor Pharaoh, you're stubborn, and God put the hardness in your heart to be like that. Why? Because God wants to prove himself that he's above the stubbornness of man, above everything, and he's going to deliver the people anyway, period, to manifest his attribute. And you think God pulls you and me to save you out of the sin of the world. What for? To show you that he's a Savior. And we sit around like nothing happens. I feel good. How do you measure the magnitude of God? How do you measure his salvation? How do you measure these things? And still, when you see there, now God mingled that together so the Jews can be the way that they are. And look at the description of this. I have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof. Everything the Jews have done, the Egyptians, was a mistake. God said so. God did it. That his word said so. And you say, then what happened? Listen, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. You think the condition. So drunk, and God mingled that seed. I know I'm touching doctrines this morning. Fine. We have to do some things, right? Just in one side, what God had permitted to happen to Egypt. And look what God permitted for you and me to be saved. Why? His attribute as a Savior. His attribute as love. His attribute as God will give you patience. God will keep you. All these attributes of God are manifested in you. And you know, God's power is manifested all around you and all around me. And the only thing we do, sitting in a room, say, oh, about me? What about me? And you never see what God has done for you. Because we blind ourselves. We're so selfish, we cannot even see 1 inch ahead of us. We're so selfish. You know? What about the idea that God gave you health? The ability to walk? The ability that you're not a mental institution this morning. Like thousands of them that are in there, and thousands of them outside that they belong in there. You don't know what to do with them. What about that? God to give you a sound mind. Did the scripture say that or not? That he's going to give you a sound mind? What is that, Brother David? It's an attribute of God. And where do I get it? When we go to Christology, Christology comes from Christos and Legos, means the study of Christ, talk about Christ. When you see that, then you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the Old Testament and the New Testament as one thing. God in Christ being totally revealed as a Savior, as a healer, to see His love. Have you ever tried to pray and you sit down and you don't know how to pray and you cry, He says, God, You're so good to me. And you don't even think about what God has done for you. Your spirit cries out to thank God. What is it? It's a worship of what He has done. It's a spirit of worship because God is an object of worship. You worship Him. He says, I didn't say a word. You don't have to say anything. Just surrender to you, to yourself, to Him, and He'll take care of everything. Now listen. Isaiah 19:14. We study that, right? Now look at Isaiah 45:7. I'm just looking at some attributes that God has that we don't want to preach sometimes. You see, God is love, truly, but He has to manifest His love to somebody. That's why God has selected, chosen some people. Look at the 7th verse, 45:7, okay? Now listen to what God, the Word of God said here. I form the light and created darkness. I make peace and created evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Think of it. I said, I'm not getting into doctrines, but this morning's about time to say some things. Because this way you can see what God has done for you. This way you can tell that God created something in my heart. If you want to call it light or whatever. And that light shine in me away from darkness. You know, the world in such a state cannot even think right anymore. I remember that song. He says, I wasn't able to think right until I went to the Lord. Right? There's no sound mind. Who can handle that verse? Tell me. Who can understand the depth of it? Your mind goes back to the time that Lucifer came over. And God's attributes had to be manifested. I don't want to get into it. And what happened? Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning, the scripture says. You raise your pride up. And God cast you out. What makes Lucifer to raise his pride up? Lucifer became a victim to produce some people so God can show that he's a judge also. God can show you that he predestinated and called you and me. You go to serpent seed doctrine and you find out. There are some verses, like I said, that it's scary to look at them, but we have to look at them. Let's read it once more. Isaiah 45:7. I form the light. Did God say, let there be light in the book of Genesis? And there was light. It's not just talk. It's the Word of God. It's I, personal pronoun, Jehovah God. I, he said, form the light and create darkness. What about that? He's the one who created darkness. And then he continued, I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. You know, you say, I need peace. Have you ever been turmoiled that you don't know what to do? You're upset and everything is wrong. And really, the victims are all around you. You pick on your children, you pick on yourself, you pick up on everybody you can imagine. Everybody's wrong. You know the problem is in you? Sometimes you don't see it. If you stop for a minute and says, Lord Jesus, help me. You read a few verses, although you don't feel anything, you just stand still. And when the peace of God comes in you, you see the whole thing different, right? Why? You went to the author of peace. look what the scripture says here. He says this, I make peace. He's the source of peace. What the world is doing. They got problems, they drink. They got more problems, they drink more. They got more problems, they take drugs. They got more problems, they take more drugs. By the time they finish, what happened? They look for peace. By the time they finish, they got to go to be rehabilitated. To what? There's no source. The only source is Christ. It's Jehovah. He is the source of peace. And unless man comes and finds that peace. You say, Brother David, now, that's pretty strong scriptures and pretty strong statements. I didn't say them. They are right there. You know, you hold back things, but when you come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, to see that, you know, in the bottom line is no matter what happens in the whole world, God has a selected people, and He's going to permit everything to happen that you can imagine to purify and have a bunch of people that He can put His hand upon them. And He said, this is my bride. They can worship me. They understand my love. They understand what I'm trying to do. I took all these Jews as an example. They will kill. They will do this and this and that. And I look at them and I say, I don't want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus. God permits all these things. You look at poor Ahab. And I know Ahab and Jezebel, he was the most wicked king, the scripture says. But if you read in 1 Kings 22, 20, 23, the scripture says, send a lying spirit to deceive Ahab. God sent a lying spirit to deceive Ahab. You know, these scriptures make you scratch your head, right? What's going on? You see, God selects a group of people for a bride. And He says, nobody's going to touch these people. And the saints shall judge the earth. And one day, you'll stand and judge the wicked generation, the wicked city of Phoenix. He says, you did that. You did that. You did that. The saints will judge you. And God permits this thing. You know, you read if you want to find out the condition of the world today. Read Romans 1, the first chapter. Everything is right there. Everything in Romans 1, everything is right there. Everything you want to know about the condition of the world is right there. You don't have to go too far. I love the Word of God, don't you? You know, now you can see the love of God. He has some force for you. He foreknew and He predestinated. Predestinate from the word proorizo. Pro is before, orizo, before their destiny was made. And they live in this world. And they will judge this world. Have you ever been in a state says, Lord, I wish if I can go home. What I'm doing here anyway, I'm sick about the whole thing. I can't stand it. But you know, God wants you here because you're going to be a judge one of these days. And you better face it and say, Lord, you promise you're going to keep me. And you're keeping power because your attribute has the power to keep me. You win the battle at Calvary. That's it. And He wants you right here. So now let's look a couple more scriptures. I hope it's not too heavy for you. I hope you can see the attributes of God. It has to be manifested. You know, in that tape, Brother Bram speaks about that. And he says, you have to have a bad woman to appreciate a good woman. You remember that? You have to have an evil to appreciate good. You have to have that. This is the attributes of God. You see? God to manifest Himself. He says, oh, He did that. The president did this. The president did that. There's no president in this country can do anything except to bring that nation to the end, to be burned at the end. Nobody can save this nation. We are in insanity in this nation. The federal government don't know what to do. The state doesn't know what to do. The home doesn't know what to do. The children don't know what to do. The parents doesn't know what to do. You know, years ago, probably you are young and you don't know, years ago, you used to send your kids to school, and you know, with an attitude, teach them to behave. And if they don't behave, the teacher used to have a little rod and spank you. You know that? You know? Today you took the rod out. The parents doesn't know what to do. The kids are confused. The system is confused. Look the results and judge it. Look the result and judge it. Do the scripture says children will run you, will control you? That's what they're doing. Why? The word of God must be fulfilled, and you see it today. Did the scripture speaks about Sodom? As it was in the days of Sodom. As it was. How it was. Terrible. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Look at Sodomites. Look at gay communities. Preachers. Name it. Filth. The whole thing is. Then how you can make it have a home? It doesn't work. What happened? Well, violated the word of God. But remember, God has a few people. Not the ones that try to keep busy to get away from themselves. No. The ones that they face themselves. And he says, that's what God said. I'm a chosen child of God, and I'm going to go on. But you fail so many times. Yes, you fail. Let me give you an example. You might let yourself go, your mouth go, and be bad. That's what you learn, the doctrine, I will restore you. Because you have the path of repentance. And you go back to him, says, Lord, forgive me. A true believer is not the one without mistakes. A true believer knows how to get back to Jesus. Give us an example, Peter, all the time. Peter was the quick draw man. Cut the man's ear. But on the other side, what happened? Brag about, Lord, never this, never that. And the scripture tells he was cursing the Lord. But Peter knew how to repent. And that's what makes Peter to preach Pentecost. How beautiful is the word of God. We'll probably pick up one or two more scriptures and look at them. And then what I think we should do, I should give you about four or five more to read them before you go home. Psalms 105, 25. Psalms 105, 25. Praise the Lord. He's good, isn't he? He turned their heart, he says, to hate his people, to deal, he says, suddenly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. God chosen. You know, we don't understand what means God to choose. I remember at the Air Force days, I was serving a NATO force in Athens. And here was all these men. And you know, all of us know the rumors at the time. Knew the rumors. And we knew what bases are good, what bases are bad. Nobody wants to go in the boondocks, you know. Everybody wants to be right in the middle of Athens in an Air Force small base that can go home 2 o'clock in the afternoon, get up next morning and go back to your office and come back again. You know, all of us. So our family knew the Secretary of State at the time. And I remember when all these men got in the big auditorium, he started calling names. You go for it, they give you some papers, tell you which base you're going to go. And I said, think of this. You know, I didn't have anything to do. My mother fixed everything up. I was right back in Athens there, riding that Jeep back and forth, going to school. Boy Scouts was not military for me. Boy Scouts. But what surprised me, the choosing. You had no rights to say where you go, where you don't go. They tell you where to go. And you think of this, God's mercy pick you up to be part of Him, part of His bride, to worship Him and love Him. Seems to me we are wrapped up so much, like I said before, in ourselves. Everything that will go to prayer before God is give me. Give me. Give me. You know? And it seems there's nothing to say, Lord, let me stop for a minute. Let me surrender to you. I'm not give, give, give. Let's say, thank you, Lord, for saving me, right? Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you for what you have done for me. Have you ever been around people, the only thing is around you, what you got? What you got? What you got? You're sick about that. Have you surrendered yourself to say, Lord, I'm here. What do you want me to do? You want to beat me up? Let me have it. I love you. Whatever you do with me, I love you. I want to go on. But this contrast between the two verses here that you can see very clear. On the second part, it says this. He said, Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Are you aware that God has chosen you and me today? And the grace of God keeps us? Is this a little light thing? Do you realize it's an attribute of God? And the power of God to be able to keep you and me, and should glorify God every day? You know, if they have to have a rule to give us a name, to change our name, you know what name belongs to all of us? Mr. and Mrs. Murmurer. That's why I should call all of us. Mr. and Mrs. Murmurer, we are fussing. Stop for a minute. Look what God has done for you. Look, gave you health to be able to walk. God will permit you. But I hurt myself. I lost my temper. I did this. I got sick and so on. Remember, you go to manifest the attributes of God. When you go to repent, the people will know that there's a spirit of repentance in you. They got something in them. Correct? They got something in them. Now you can write down a few places if you want to write them down. Let's read once more, one more, and we close. And then what we can do, I'll give you four more sections that you can study at home. Let's go to Jeremiah for a minute. Jeremiah, I'm in love with that book lately. Jeremiah, the 13th chapter. Listen to what God will do. You say, God is love, and I understand that, but God has attributes, has to manifest them, you know. Therefore shall speak unto them this word, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Is that the word of the Lord or not? That's what he said. Every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? God speaks now. Then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of the land, even the kings, remember that God rules the kings, that sit upon David's throne. David's throne had no exception. And the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. Who is going to do that? God is going to do it. How do you like that? You say, these people did that and these people did that. Stop for a minute to say what God is doing for you and see the plan of God, how to fulfill the attributes of God. And I will dash them, he says, one against another. And even the fathers and the sons together, saith the Lord. And I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Pretty silence, isn't it? Huh? You read verses like that, you say, hey, God, pick me up. It permits all these things around me. And God preserve me, and God keep me. What I'm fussing about? What I'm fussing about? He make them to be like a bunch of drunks. They don't know where they stand. Oh, you say, that's a type. I realize and I believe it's a type of wine. Do you believe that our government today are sober or drunks? I'm talking about mentally. No direction. Do you know that? No direction. Spend. No direction. Where do we go next? Spend. That's all we know. Listen where we are going now. Listen at Russia. Spend. It was an article in the paper a couple of days ago. The Russian soldiers are in starvation. They have nothing to eat. You know, I don't want to see that for any man. For two reasons. I want everybody to be able to eat. And I don't want people to be dangerous when they don't have anything to eat to do crazy things. And you don't know what's going to happen. The Word of God is so magnificent. You look around you. He says, Lord, why? I don't understand. Why this? Why that? Because of you, I've chosen you. I want to show my contrast. But Lord, I'm sick. He's the healer. Acknowledge his attribute. He'll heal you. I have seen God moving in some areas. How the Lord touches people. And you look, the people are moving on. I'm talking about with the scripture, the Word of God. You know, today, people that are out in the streets. 50 years ago, they were locked up in the insane institution. Where are we going? His attributes have to be manifested. His love is part of his attributes. It's reflected on me. You know, people are hungry. Do you know that? We have that Bible conference in young adults in Gatlinburg. A man 90 years old or 92, he or his wife, and he's 89 or something like that. They try to apply to get in and worship the Lord, with other words. This is reality. If we can see the revelation of Jesus Christ, he permitted all these things. He died at Calvary to show to you and to me who he is. He made Egypt to be drunks, to prove himself a deliverer. He talks to Moses and he said, go tell Pharaoh. And in the back of Moses goes and hardens the heart of Pharaoh. Why? Because he wants to show that he's God. And one day at Calvary, he showed to you and me that he's a Savior. You see sometimes the bad things, but he manifests himself in his love. How do you understand grace? Tell me. If I would define grace from the scripture, you just get dizzy. We say scriptures today that these scriptures are not preached. But in order to see the revelation of who he is that came down for a redeemer for you and I, look with the environment that he permitted. You look at it. Still, he has the chosen bride in it. And there's positive sides there. I'll never leave you. Never forsake you. You are part of me. I'm the firstborn. I'm the first of the rest of the brethren. You remember that? He took you in the family of God. That's why I'm not dragging my feet, I'm battling with myself. How much I should cover and how much I should just let it go. These scriptures, have you ever heard sermons preached on the scriptures? Where? Tell me. I want to know. I want to listen to them. Where? Why? We don't want to see the attributes of God be manifested, that God permits these things. He permitted Judas. He permitted Judas. He fed Judas by the gospel. Listen to this. Judas was supporting himself eating because of the gospel of Jesus. He was in the message of that hour. He was still the devil. Cain and Abel. God tells Cain, you're his beginning. That's it. And when you see all the things around and the magnitude of his love and his mercy to pull you and I, chosen us, let's stand still in his presence. Say, Lord, thank you. I have nothing to fuss about. I want to be the other side. Right? Done so much for us. When I look at all these things, you know what I see? I see his grace, what he has done for you and for me to be able to pull us out from the mess that we have been all the time. You know, I know God so loved the world that whosoever will, tell me this, who gave you the power to will? Romans says, he's the one that does the will and to do his good pleasure. You can have two people, one says I will, the other one says I will. Both of them, they will go so far, one of them, the other one breezes through, meets God. Thank you, Lord. I want to follow the word of God. Do you know, in closing today, if we throw out all the commercials and the entertainment from the church world, there will be no church world left? Remember that. It seems to me that we're fooling ourselves instead of saying, God, your word is so strong, so severe. Mingle their seed in Egypt to make them mean so God can stand. In one side, he mingled the seed. In the other side, makes Pharaoh's heart hard. What kind of a choice Pharaoh had? Nothing. God hardened the hearts. Moses, go and tell him. He says, no. God permitted another miracle. Pharaoh ready to bend. He says, go back and tell Pharaoh now. And God hardened the heart of Pharaoh again. How do you like that? Total confusion looks like, right? But God wants to bring Pharaoh to a total exhaustion, to a total place that he realizes God is God. And God is the deliverer and no man. What did he give Moses to pull the people out? A crooked stick. No chariots? No nothing. A crooked stick. He says, Moses, get him out now. The people start panicking. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. Moses says, stand still. You know, when you're frustrated, you don't know what you're doing. I remember at IBM, the criteria that when they evaluate you internally, you write your handwriting, apply, and so on. They read your handwriting and go through it, and they say how good he handles cases when there's turmoil. That's how they evaluate you. Do you blow your stock and go, or just calmly you watch it? And Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. How are you going to see it? Here's the chariots. Here is this. Here is God. God permit them to come after him. And Moses stands around. No big chariot. No put shells on the guns. No nothing. Just a crooked stick. Hit the water. Separate it. Go through. Close the water, wipe them out. That's it. It's pretty simple, right? Where God does it. But you know, that same crooked stick at Calvary, it's for you and me to help us go through dry land. The scripture says dry land. It was not even wet on the ground. Dry. Can you imagine that? Dry land. Let's stand. Thank you. I'd ask Brother Derman to close us in a word of prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ, you are the mystery of God revealed to us. Please pray that you teach us the fullness of your divine nature. Let us know more about you.
Yes.
And Lord, as we learn this morning, your mighty attributes must be displayed. And sometimes you even allow evil to happen to show forth your mighty attributes. Lord, we pray that you draw us closer to you. And we know that your thoughts to us.
Glory.
And you made that promise.
Yes, Lord.
Whoever will come unto you. Lord, we thank you for putting
Jesus. Forgive us, Lord.
That is our Lord.
Forgive us, Lord.
Draw us closer to you is our prayer. Teach us the fullness of your divine nature. To know of your love to us.
Hallelujah.
We could not appreciate good health unless we were sick at one time, Lord. The law of contrast. We could not appreciate an honest person unless we've seen those about us that lie and as those that they do in this day and age.
Glory to God.
Lord, we see the evil about us, but we see that you are our deliverer, and we thank you for delivering us from evil. Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. We thank you for your love and mercy to us. Keep us in this day that we live in, O Lord. Draw us closer to you, Lord. Give us of your divine nature that we might realize what you have done for us. Teach us of your ways, Lord Jesus, and fill us with your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We commit ourselves in your hands, Lord. We need a closer walk with you.
Yes.
We need to be filled with more of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And Lord, as the world goes about, groping about in insanity, as Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, hide us under your sheltering wings, Lord Jesus. Just protect us and cover us.
Yes,
keep us under your precious hand. Lord, we commit our loved ones to you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we know that you are their Savior. You are the author of salvation. Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We just ask your love and mercy to stay. Be with the absent body.
Yes, Lord.
Lead us into a closer walk with you.
Yes.
Show us your ways, O Lord. And lead us on your path of righteousness.
Glory, glory, glory.
But through you, Lord Jesus, we can do all things. For you're the one who strengthens us. You take complete control of our lives, Lord God. We thank you and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May we dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.